Okay, Shalom Rabosei, today's daf is Psachim Daf Gimel. Still sounds weird to say Psachim as opposed to Erevin, but Baruch Hashem, we are on to the next Masechta. So we're on Psachim Daf Gimel, we're trying to figure out, we had a Machlokas on Beis Amar Aleph, what Or L'Arba Asor is referring to. And we had Rav Huna who said Nagi, which means morning, and Rav Yehuda had said Lele, that it means nighttime. So we're still trying to figure out from Psukim and Mishnayos, what exactly or would mean. So we're at the two dots here on the bottom of Beis Mabeis, Mesve Marzutra. Marzutra asks the following question. It's going to be a Shita Kasha against Rav Huna, who said that it meant morning. So he said like this, Mapelet or Lashmone. Okay, so Lashmone V'Echad. So we need a little bit of background. When a woman gives birth, Mitzvah Shem, so she has a certain time when she is tahor, even though she sees blood. Even if she might see blood, that blood is tahor, and she is still considered to be tahor. If it's a girl, so she is tameh for 14 days, and then she's tahor for another 66 days, which, quick math, makes 80. That she is tahor until the 81st day. And after that period, she brings a korban, for a girl. Now the Gemara says, this Gemara is in Krisus, that basically if somehow the woman would become pregnant again and then have a miscarriage during those 80 days, meaning she would then bring obviously a korban for the birth, and at some point you also need to bring a korban for the miscarriage. So the question is, I mean, at a certain point, a miscarriage is considered to be a viable carriage, pregnancy. Then when the miscarriage, Rachman Letzlan, if that happens, so then there would be a korban. So the question is like this. If the miscarriage was within the 80th day, within the 80-day period, so then she brings one korban. And one korban is good enough for the birth and for the subsequent Rachman Letzlan miscarriage. If it happened after the 80th day, so then she would need, that is viewed as two separate births or miscarriages or whatever you have, and then she would need two korbanos. Now the question is, let's say she miscarried, Rachman al-Islan, or, and this is what the language of the Gemara is, or l'shmonim ve'echad. Hamapelet, now back in the Gemara, hamapelet or l'shmonim ve'echad. If she miscarried on the or of the 81st day. Now again, this is presumably going to mean night. Beis Shammai says, well, you're potter, because it's still, we'll see in a second, I'll explain in a second, why did you be potter? Beis Hillel say, you're chayiv, because this is, the night starts the time when, the night starts the day in Jewish thought, so if a woman would miscarry on the night of the 81st day, that's considered to be after the 80-day period, and therefore she has to bring two korbanos. Beis Shammai says, no, that you're potter. She would be potter from the korban. We'll say it in a second, but I think the Gemara goes through it over here. But basically, since you cannot bring a korban at night, so it's still considered to be part of the 80-day period. Okay, but either way, the Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai go back and forth. And again, what's really important for us here is what does or mean? And again, in Echinami over here, it seems very clear to mean nighttime. But either way, Hamapelas or Lashmonev, Echa, Beis Shammai, Potrim, Mikorban, Beis Hillel, Mechayvim. So now, Amru Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Maishna or Shmonu Ve'echad Miyom Shmonu Ve'echad. What's the difference between the night, between the or of the 81st day and the day of the 81st day? I mean, clearly, right, why should there be any difference between the two? If she would have a miscarriage, Rachman al-Islam, on the 81st day, she'd have to bring two korbanos. What's the difference between the day and the or and the night? Im Shiva lo l'tuma, lo Shiva lo l'korban. So Beis Hillel said, Beis Shammai said back to them, that what's it called? That's a continuation of Beis Hillel. Meaning that's a second point. Meaning the tumah in terms of her becoming tameh, right? The tahara, we said she's tahor for the subsequent 66 days up until the 80th day. She then, if she would see blood on the night of the 81st day, so she would become tameh. So im shiva lo l'tumah, and so too, obviously, if she saw blood on the day of the 81st day. So the night and the day of the 81st day, is equal, is the same, Shiva, right? It's the same, it's equal in terms of the Tumah. So lo yishva lo the korban, so certainly it should also be the same, halacha, in terms of bringing the korban. And then, you know, with leaving out how the Gemara continues, so midik amr beis hil le beis shamai, mai shna, or shmonim ve'echad, miyom shmonim ve'echad, right? From the fact that they... Beis Hillel's point is, what's the difference between the or and the yom of the 81st day? So shmamina, or ortahu. Right? Apparently you see that or means nighttime. Right? Orta, again, means nighttime in Aramaic. So shmamina, so apparently we see from here that enochinami, that or does mean night. Mesve, another proof, and you will see, we'll stack these proofs at the end, so we're going to understand Rav Huna differently, because he can't possibly say that or means night, because again, we have all these proofs. Mesve, I'll ask you another point, another question. Yacho yehi nechal or l'shlishi. You might have thought that you should be able to eat a korban on the third day. On the or of the third day. Now, the din is that a korban shlamim is allowed to be eaten for 2 days and one night. Meaning, if you bring the korban on Monday, you can eat the korban Monday night, and Tuesday day. So you might have thought, yachol, that you could eat the korban shlamim also on or l'shlishi, on Tuesday night. On the night of the third day after you bring the korban, right? If you brought it on Monday, so the day after Monday, Tuesday, and then the third day would be Wednesday. Probably should have started in the example from Sunday. That would be easier to understand. All right, either way, right? You might have thought that you could eat the korban shlamim on the or the shlishi, and then that's going to be our proof. This means the night of the third day. V'dinu, and that would have made sense. That would have been logical, right? Because zvachim nechalim liyom echad, v'shlam nechalim liyom l'shnei yamim. Because zvachim, a lot of other korbanos, for some reason Rashi brings the example of a korban toda, for example, that you're allowed to eat for 1 day, right? And a shlamim, you're allowed to eat for 2 days. But the korban, the zvachim, the toda, you're allowed to eat for 1 day and a night. So if you shechted it on Sunday, you can eat it Sunday and Sunday night, even though Sunday night is technically Monday, right? Jewish halacha. So my lahala laila achar yom, afakan laila achar yom. So you might have also thought that the shlamim, which gets 2 days and one night, should also get the night following the second day. So Tamalomas, therefore the Pasuk says, Biyom Zivchachem Yachel Mimacharas. Fine, I'm sorry, Yom Ashlishi, Ba'is Dizarif. Okay, I gave you the X at the end of the Pasuk. Right, Be'od Yom Hunechal Ve'no Nechal Or Ashlishi. Right, so the Pasuk says that you're only allowed to eat the Korban Shlamim for 2 days and one night, and not for the second night as well. So Yachov Yusarf Me'ad, you might have thought that you have to burn it right away if you leave it over past the 2 days and one night. Evidinyu, and that would have been a logical thought, because Zivchachem Nechal Leum Ve'laila. Echad, because a regular zevach, let's say a korban toda, you get to eat it that day and at night as well. Ushlamim nechalim l'shneyam laila echad, and a korban shlamim, a regular korban that you bring to eat, you get 2 days and one night. Umalahalan takeif lechilas reifa, and just like by the korban toda, if you leave it over the entire night, right, you get a day and a night, and if you leave it over past the night, you have to burn it immediately in the morning. So takeif lechilas reifa, right after the period of eating, you need to burn the korban. So afkan takeif lechilas reifa. So maybe over here by a shlamim as well, right, you also have to burn it as soon as the eating period is over, i.e., right after the second day at nighttime. The pasuk says, no, so the pasuk says that you only burn it on the day of the third day. Okay, so fine. But either way, the point is, we said, right? The first thing we said, that you might have thought you should eat it on the or of the third day. It's alma or ortahu. Apparently, the word or means nighttime. So, shma, we know, we see from here that or definitely means nighttime. Tashma, another proof. Or shal yom kippur mispal sheva umisvade. Right, on the or of Yom Kippur, we daven, we say seven brachos of Shmona Esrei, and we say vidui. Shachris mispal sheva umisvade, so too by Shachris. Musaf mispal sheva umisvade, so too by Musaf. Mincha mispal sheva umisvade, you're getting the idea over here. And ba'alvis, and ba'arvis mispalel me'ein Shmona Esrei, and after Yom Kippur, at night, according to the Tanakhama over here, you wouldn't say a full Shmona Esrei in Ma'ariv. You'd only say me'ein Shmona Esrei, you'd say what's called Havinenu, which you remember from Brachos, is a condensation of the 18 Brachos. We'd say a quick Ma'ariv on the end of Yom Kippur, according to Tanakhama. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Bosef, Mispal Shmona Asar Shleimos. No, you say a full, complete Ma'ariv. That's obviously what we do after Yom Kippur. If they should tzarech lomar havdalah b'chonin adas, because you have to say havdalah, right, in davening. So ba'alma, again, what was the point? The first thing we said is, or shal yom kippurim. Apparently, you see that that refers to nighttime, or to who? Shmamina. So apparently, we see that, yes, or means nighttime. Tashma, bringing out another proof. The Tana de Beishmuel, lele arba. Sorry, this, you could have probably led with this, but okay, either way, we say this at the end. This is, again, later on in Masechta. We'll probably see this in a couple of days. Where is it? Yeah, Zion number base. Okay. Lele arba asar bodkin is the chametz lo raner. At the night of the 14th, you check the chametz in the, at night with the candlelight. So ama or ortahu. So apparently you see that or means nighttime. So the Gemara says, you're right, fine. After, in the face of all these proofs, Rav Huna could not have meant that you do bedika in the morning. So ela bein Rav Huna, bein Rav Yehuda, dekuli ama or ortahu. No, all of them agree that or the Arba Asar means the night of the 14th, that's when we check for Chametz. Philopli, then there's actually no machlokas whatsoever. He could have saved us a daf and a half. Mar ki asre. Right? They're just saying what they call nighttime in their neighborhoods. Basre de Rav Huna karu nagi, uvasre de Rav Yehuda karu lele. Right? Simply, in Rav Huna's neighborhood, they called nighttime nagi. It literally means daylight, but just to be, you know, lashon sagi nohar, like we don't say to call a blind person that he's blind. You say that he's able, sagi nohar, right? So he's able to have a lot. There's a lot of light. Meaning that was the phrase the Gemara would call someone who's blind. Right, again, you wanted to, and the Gemara today really can discuss the requirement of speaking in a nice lashon, in a kosher, more elevated manner. That's going to be most of the daf. So same thing, they called it nighttime. Instead of night is dark and dreary, depressing, they called it daylight, or the daytime. Obviously, something different, so they wouldn't get confused, but that's what they called it. Ruvasre Rav Yehuda, Karulele, okay, and Rav Yehuda's neighborhood, they called it nighttime. Okay, fine. So, which leaves the question is, "V'tani didan my time eloka tani laila." So, why didn't our Mishnah then say laila arbasar? Right, we have the Gemara. Tani de Shmuel says laila arbasar. Why don't we say that in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says lishna ma'alnu hudanaka. He takes a nicer language, right? A better language. More clean, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, maybe refined, maybe, okay, whatever it is. Could Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the drummer of Yeshua ben Levi, l'olam al yotzi adam davar maguna mipif. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says you should never say anything disgusting from your mouth, and we're going to see to what extent that is. Sharei akam akasuv shmone osios, because the Torah itself added on eight letters of lo hotzi davar piv davar meguna mipiv. Right, the Torah itself, we're going to see a couple of examples, but in this first example, the Torah added eight letters. We know the Torah doesn't waste words, doesn't waste letters, but it added eight letters instead of saying something that was slightly less not appropriate, but slightly less appropriate. Now, let's say slightly less clean. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Mina behema tohora, umina behema asher inena tohora. The Pasuk there is talking about kosher and treif animals that Noach took onto the Teva. So Noach took the tohor animals, the kosher animals, and then he took the animals that were not tohor, that were not kosher. And instead of saying tamei, it said asher inena tohora. That is not tohor. Right? So tamei is more negative, more less refined, less precise. Well, it's precise, but it's less appropriate, shall we say. So the Torah added letters. Rav Papa Amar Teisha. Rav Papa said it even added nine letters. Rav Shinamar, because the Pasuk says, Ki yebecha ish asher lo yet tahor mikrei laila. Again, asher lo yet tahor, it could have just said asher utameh. And then if it added letters, right, to talk in a better language. Ravina Amar Eser. It really was 10, because the Vav to Tahor, because again, apparently Rav Papa had Tahor as Chaser, but Ravina had Tahor with the Vav, so that's 10 letters. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Amar Sheshesrei. What about, there's 16 letters. There's a place where they added 16 letters. Shinamar Zabazuk says, Ki Amar Mikre, Hu Bilti Tahor, Hu Kilo Tahor. Now, this is not the Chumash, this is the Navi. This is actually in my Haftorah, in my Bar Mitzvah Haftorah, but Machar Chodesh. Where the Torah is talking when David didn't show up to Shaul's Rosh Chodesh party. And Shaul said to himself, on the first day he didn't show up, okay, maybe he's not Tahori, so he's not here. And the second day, right, he got upset, right, he yelled at Yonasan, etc., etc. But it says, Bilti Tahori, who Kilo Tahor, right? He could have just said, because maybe he's Tameh. So it didn't say that, so it added all these extra letters. Tani debei Rabbi Yishmael, la'olam yisaper adam b'loshon nekiya. Right, a person should always speak in clean language. Sharei bezov karu mirkav, uvisha karu moshav. Right, by a zav and a zava, so someone who has an emission, it's right, men and women generally the halachos are the same, generally. But a zav, they call, meaning they call someone who rides. Right, that's it refers to tamei mark, someone who's tamei be'azov. It's uses the language of someone riding, but by a woman it doesn't say. It says by someone sitting, right? Because it's slightly inappropriate to say that a woman is riding. So the Torah has changed this lashon and said that no, the woman is sitting by a tamei zov. Okay, to transmit to him, etc. Okay, ve'omer. It also says v'tivchar lashon arumim. You should choose the language of the wise. Ve'omer. It also says v'dafsev say barur malalo. That someone who has vidasva sa is probably better. Yeah, more accurate is that the knowledge of my lips was clear and not sure what milo is, but it was clear. Maiva omer, what is it? What do you need the extra psukim for? Right, seem to prove it pretty good from the chumash. So the gemara says, v'chitema hanimili b'daraisa b'derabanan lo. Right, you might have thought that that's only for Daraisa things, but for Durabanan things, maybe you don't need that. So Tashma, therefore, Va'omer v'tivchar lashon arumim, that you should choose the language of the intelligent, right? Arum means naked, but it also means, right? V'anachash haya arum mikol chayas hasadeh. It doesn't mean that the snake was the most naked. It means he was the smartest, the most cunning. So arumim usually refers to tamei chachamim, or smart, or intelligent, cunning, right, etc. So you should use the language of the Chachamim. I have a chitema, honey, mili b'derabanan, and if you would have thought, oh, maybe that's only when you're talking about either a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabanan, mili d'alma lo, but in general, if you're talking about, I don't know, the football, so then you shouldn't choose clean language. So then the pasuk says, v'omer v'dasva sai baru or milalo, right? The pasuk says that you should always choose clean language with your lips. The Gemara says, one second. You're telling me that by a woman, it says, okay, by Tumas Zava, it says that she's sitting, as opposed to riding, which is inappropriate. Well, that's unclear, because that doesn't make sense, because the Torah does say that about women, and the Tanakh does say that. Right? V'isha uksiv ba'merkav, right? It never says that a woman was riding. So uksiv, Pazuk says, right? We read it a couple of weeks ago. V'atakam Rivka v'narosev, v'atarkav nehala gemalim. Rivka and her maidservants, they got up and they started riding camels. Second, it says Hasham Mishum Bitusa the Gemalim Orchu. No, because there it's normal for a person who is riding a camel to spread their legs over the camel, because they have to ride in a proper way to make sure they don't fall off, because they're afraid of the camel. I guess that's a high way up, if a long way down rather. If you'd fall off the camel, so that's a normal way of riding. It's not inappropriate at all to say that a woman was riding a camel, because that's the normal way of riding it. Vaksiv, and another kasha, one second, the pasuk also says, Vaikach Moshe Sishto Vespana Vaikivim Alachamor. When Moshe was leaving Midian, he took his wife and his kids, threw them on a donkey, and they were riding. That's what the pasuk says. Kamar says, Hasam Mishum Banav Orche. So again, same thing, because the children were riding with her, so it was normal for her to ride with both legs on either side of the donkey, because she would have to, you know, ride in a more strengthened way. And make sure to hold the kid. Some of the kids were sitting in front of her, etc. So that was the normal way of writing. There's no denigration over there. I have aksiv, another question. V'hi rocheves ala chamor. That's not in Chumash, that's in Tanakh. That's talking about Abigail coming down the mountain to go meet with David to beg for her husband's life. Her husband, Naval. I always get Naval and Navos confused. Okay, either way, Naval, her husband, Naval's wife, life. So Hasam, so over there, the Gemara says, Mishum bituza delele orchu. No, because she was riding at night, and therefore she needed to ride, you know, sturdily on the animal, on the donkey, to make sure she wouldn't fall off. V'boy seiman, or another way to understand, Mishum bituza delele. Mishum bituza delele leka, Mishum bituza de David ika. Right, okay. Or she wasn't afraid of riding at night. Right, maybe she had a torch or whatever, but she was afraid of David. Right, David the Melech is a, you know, powerful figure. She was nervous, and she needed to ride in a normal way. V'boyes ema, or another way to understand, b'tusa the David namileka. Maybe she wasn't afraid of David, but mishum b'tusa dehar ika. Maybe she was coming down a mountain, so that maybe she had to watch her step, and she was nervous. Okay, so either way. So that's those are a couple of examples when it says the women rode, but in those cases they needed to ride more sturdily, and there's no denigrating language by suggesting that they rode with both legs around the animal. Uva Raisa Miluk Siftame. And the Gemara says, okay, one second. We had a couple of examples where you said, Kilo Tahor, the animals are not Tahor. Right? Well, you tell me the word Tame never appears in Chumash? Right? It never appears in Chumash? It certainly does. So the Gemara says, Ela ki hechi dichya dadi ninu mishtoi belasum nikiya. So the Gemara says, actually, whenever both potential phrases, whatever phrases you're talking about, and the more clean phrase, if they're exactly the same length, meaning it's not any longer, so then, then they choose the cleaner language. But call hechad and efishin milei, but whatever, any case where it's going to be longer, so then mishtay belashon katzara. Then it'll take the shorter, expression. Now, obviously, we just had a whole thing of you added 7 letters, 8 letters, 10 letters, 13 letters. So the Rishonim do discuss exactly why. In those cases specifically, right, they chose the longer version. But according to this understanding now in the Gemara, right, they would, if it's everything, all bets are equal, so then they'll choose the cleaner expression. But if it's really much longer, so then they'll take the shorter one. Kid Amar Rav Huna Amarav, like Rav Huna said the name of Rav, the Amrila Amar Rav Huna Amarav Mishum Rav Meir, La Olam Yishana Adam La Talmido Derech Chetzar. You should always teach in a precise and short manner, meaning you have to be short and to the point. You have to make sure not to be wordy. I know in my own kind of experience in terms of studying writing and creative writing. So they always say that less is more. And if you throw out six adjectives about a person, so you kind of get this muddled picture. But if you choose a really great adjective, that he had, I don't know, thick rimmed glasses. So you immediately get a picture of that person. It's the same thing. I mean, whenever a person is more precise and more concise, I guess is probably also a good word, you get a much clearer picture, right? As opposed to, getting 15 adjectives and now you can't really understand what's going on. Okay. So the Gemara says, one second. Right, and you're telling me that whenever you have the same distance or the same length in the phrase, right, you can use the more kavodik phrase. Right, when the Torah says, where is this? This is right. We said before, by Avigail, v'hiru cheves ala chamor. You could have said v'hiru cheves ala chamor. She's sitting on the donkey or riding on the donkey. So that's why would you choose rocheves? That's the exact same length. So why did you choose riding? Riding is seemingly more inappropriate than sitting. So the Gemara says actually rocheves k'siv, not rakevet, but rocheves k'siv is written without the vav. So therefore, we chose the shorter phrase. Okay. Hanu Tre Talmude, Talmide Dehavi Yosve Kamei Rav. There are two Talmidim sitting in front of Rav. Chad Amar Shavitinon Hai Shmeitza Kadavar Acher Misan Kon. This limud is making us like the other thing, i.e. Davar Acher, referring to a pig. It's making me exhausted like a pig. Chad Amar Shavitinon Hai Shmeitza Kigidi Misan Kon. And the other guy said, oh, I'm so exhausted like a baby goat. V'lo Yishtoi Rav Bahadi Dehach. And Rav didn't speak to the first guy, meaning he wasn't happy with his use of, comparing it to a pig. You could have easily compared yourself to a tired baby goat, a kid. So therefore, again, it was appropriate to choose a more clean, kosher language. Hanu trei talmidei d'Rabbi Yosi k'mei d'Hillel, the same idea. V'chai minayu Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and one of them was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. V'amri la k'mei d'Rabbi, v'chai minayu Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, neither or they were sitting in front of Rabbi, and there was Rabbi Yochanan was there. V'chad amar, and the Talmud said, right, not Rabbi Yochanan, or Mishnah was this Talmud, either Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. V'pneima botzrim b'tara. Why do you take? Why do you gather in grapes? Botzrin is a phrase for gathering grapes. When you're tahor, sorry, vein moskim betara, but you don't gather in olives when you're tahor. And this is a din in hechsher. What's it called? Hechsher. Whether you have the yashar adam, when you have the liquids that make something to be mekabel tumah. So again, food cannot be mekabel tumah unless it becomes wet. So when you have the grapes, so when you very often when you harvest grapes, apparently the juice comes out, and that will if the kli that you're using to get the grapes, right, so then that's gonna if the kli is tameh, then the grapes themselves are going to become tame because you have the chiyutan, you have the liquids that's coming out, and apparently that's a positive thing, and you want the liquids to come out because you want the wine, etc., etc. That's going to make the grapes tame. But by olives, apparently that's not true. And apparently you have to press the juice out of it. So it doesn't matter. I mean, even if the kli is tame, if there's no liquid there, the olives themselves are not going to become tame. So the question was, why do we harvest grapes with a kli that's tahor and not with olives with a kli that's tahor? V'chad amar, and someone else they asked, mipnema botzim b'tara umoskim b'tuma. Right, again, Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had said, Ein Betara, and this one, the second other Talmud had said Betuma. So Amar, so whoever the teacher was, either Hillel or Rebbe, Muftachani Bazesh, Amar HaRabbi Yisrael. I'm positive that the guy who used the cleaner language will be will paskin shailas for Am Yisrael. V'lohay yamim mu'atim ha'shahor ha'rabi Yisrael, and sure enough, that is true, and that in fact came true. Hanu Tzlazi Kahani, there were three Kohanim. Chad Amar Lehu, one of them said, Higiani, not kafwul, but kapol. Right? I got a portion of the matnus kahuna that was the size of a bean. Chad Amar Higiani kizayis, one of them said, I got a kizayis. Chad Amar Higiani kizanav hal ta'a. And one of them said, I got a lizard's tail. Right? And al ta'a is one of the, what's it called? Is one of the, the Shmona Shmatzin is one of the things that is transmits tuma, one of the creepy crawling things that transmits tuma. So that's obviously a less clean language than the others. So Barku Achrav Umotzobo Shemitz Puzzle. And so they checked him out because they thought that was a weird thing for a coin to say. And sure enough, he had an ancestor that had married a Chalal. Or he had married a woman that was not appropriate to him, and that Kohen, therefore, was a halal. He was not able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? That's the beginning of Maseches Makos. But that the Kohen who marries someone who's not allowed to, so he doesn't mess himself up, but he messes up his kids as well. So you see that apparently this guy was not actually allowed to do avoda. So Kohen says, one second, but what do you mean? Vatanan in bodkin mitam is be'achol amala. Right? We don't check after Kohanim, right? That have done avoda, right? We assume that if they've been to the Mizbeach, we assume that he's doing okay, that he's a kashur yid, a kashur kohen anyway. And the Gemara says, so let tema shamat psul, elayma shachat psul. Okay, fine. So you don't have to say that he was actually disqualified from doing the avoda. Maybe just he was a little bit of a balgaiva. Right, he was a balgaiva. Or it wasn't actually a problem in his lineage. The boy say, another answer, Shani Hassan, the Ihud Aranafshe, that they did check his lineage and it was found to be faulty. And why do you check lineage? Well, he had kind of aroused suspicion by using this poor language. So then they realized that there was something we have to check out over here, and sure enough, he was no good. Okay, different topic now. Ha'u Aramah Davas Salik V'achel Psachim Yerushalayim. This is going to be, it's not anything to do with speech, but this is also a story of investigating something that was shady going on. So there was a guy, an Aramean, who is obviously not Jewish, and he was going up and he didn't korban Pesach. So Amar, so he once said, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Kol ben nechar lo yochabo, kol ore lo yochabo, v'ana ka'achli m'shufri shufri. Right? He was boasting about it. He said, the Pasuk says, as a goy can't eat it, someone who's an orel can't eat it, and I go up to Yerushalayim and I get the best of the best. They give me all the best food. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, said to him, Mika safu lecha me'alya. Well, did you got all the best food? Did you get from the tail? The tail is supposed to be very fatty, very choicy back in the day, choicy piece of meat. Amalei, lo. He said, well, not really. And what the guy didn't know is that, as you'll see in a second, the tail of the sheep does not get eaten. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was pulling a move on him. Anyway, either way, Kisaka lahasam emaluhu safu leme elyo. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said to the Aramean, yeah, okay, good. Next time you go ask for the tail. That's the best part of the meat. You haven't had that yet. So Kisalik amar lume elyo safu le. So sure enough, the Aramean went the next year and said, give me from the tail. So Amulei, so they said back to him, elyo? Lagavoa salka. Right? We burn the tail meat on the Mizbeach, the fatty tail piece that goes to the Mizbeach. Right, so Amar Lehi, so they said back to him, Aman Amar Lecha Hachi. Right, so who told you to ask for that? So Amar Lehi, he said, I don't know, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseri Amru. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseri said, that's he who told me. So Amru, so they said, my hi, what's going on over here? I mean, they realized, like, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseri didn't know that you bring the tail as a korban and it burned up in the Mizbeach. So, my hide to come on. What is this in front of us? What's going on over here? So, Badku Basre Bashkechu Darama, right? So, they found out that he was an Arameanu, Vikataluhu, and they killed him. Yikes, I guess, for eating Kudshim on purpose, stealing, etc., etc. Right, fine. So, Shachu Leila Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So, they sent Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Shalom Lecha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Da'at ben Etzivim Umutsudascha Prusa Mishalayim. God bless you, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. You're in Netzivim, but your net, Matsud, right, Matsuda is a net, that your net is spread all the way to Yerushalayim, meaning Shkoyach, for the thing that you did. Now, why was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseri himself not in Yerushalayim to Aliyah the Regal? So Tosus gives a couple of answers. Just one of them, Pashtus, could be that he was older, and he couldn't make the trip. So he, right, the Pasuk says, if you're too far, so then you're a Pater from a Korban, right, you do the Korban Pesach Sheni. Okay, either way, maybe you came for Pesach Sheni, etc., whatever. Okay, let's get to the two dots on the bottom here. Rav Kahana Chalash. Rav Kahana, again, this is back to the clean language thing. Rav Kahana fell sick, and Shadru Rabbanu Rabbi Yeshua braid the Rav Idi. Amru Lei Zil Baduk Mai Dine. Right? They said to Rabbi Yeshua braid the Rav Idi, go check on Rav Kahana, see how he's doing. So Asa Ashke Chidinach Nafshe. So Rachman Latzlani, he arrived and he found out that Rav Kahana had passed away. So Kari Lulavushay. So he tore his clothes, right? As the din is, you tear it if you hear about a great person's passing. So he tore Kriya. But Hadri La Kari La Achora. But he turned around his cloak so that the tear was in the back. Ubechi, and he cried. I mean, he didn't want to show up when he came back. They would see the kriya, and the people would be in shock and be terrified and cry, etc., etc. They didn't want to throw everybody into shock. The amrule asiv amrule nach nafshe. Many he came and they said nach nafshe. So did he pass away? They asked Rav Yehuda Breda Rav Idi when he came back. What happened to Rav Kahana? Did he pass away? So I'm Alu, Ana Lo Kamina. I didn't say anything because Umotzi Dibahu Ksil, because someone who brings an evil report is a fool. Okay, meaning he didn't respond. He didn't say anything. He just didn't want to give them the bad news, right? Be the bearer of bad news. Didn't want to be the messenger. Yochanan Chakuka Nafak the Kriyasa. Yochanan Chakuka went to the Kriyasa, to the villages, right? Again, Mestame, he was going, Rashi says, Leros Betvuos, he went to see the crops. Why did they call him Chakuka? Rashi says it was a kinoi, it was a nickname. Tosa says he was a sofer. Again, quoting Rabbeinu Chananel, he was a sofer, so that was what they called him. Okay. Either way, Yochanan went out to the field to see what was going on with the crops. Kiyasu, when he came back, so Amar Lechitin Nasayafo, so how did the Chitin look? How does the wheat look? Does it look good? So Amar Lehem, he said to them, Sourim Nasu Yafos. The barley looks good. So Amar Lehem, so they said to him, Seyu Besar Lesusim V'chamorim. I said, great, okay, what are you doing with good barley? Go feed it to the horses and the donkeys, right? Barley was animal feed back in the day. Tichtiv, because the Pasuk says, V'asorim V'atevin Lesusim V'larechesh. So Gemara, meaning they were upset with his report. They shouldn't have said that. So Gemara says, "My havelay lemaymar." So what should he have said? Meaning, what was so bad? He didn't say. He didn't want to give him the bad news about the wheat. So he said, "Well, the barley's good." Well, what did you want him to say? Right, if you're saying it's not good to give bad news, not good to talk like this. So what did you want him to say? So you could have said, "Ashtaka nachsu chitim yafos." Right? You could have said the last year's wheat turned out okay. Meaning, instead of jumping to animal food, you could have still mentioned human food, but say, well, last year's food was good. See, inami, or you could have said, adashim nasu yafos, that the lentils turned out okay. Again, this is, Rashi says, that's a Michael Adam. They could have used still a better language, a more clean language, by mentioning people food instead of animal food. Okay, shkoyach kodeh rabosai. We'll go weiter in the Halakha Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.